Hello, welcome to the Cosmic Eye Podcast. This is our spirit work show. I am Jason, and we have our lovely friends, Joda and Angel, on the line with us. we'll pretend like it's a call-in talk show. You're on the line. Caller, you're on the line. So it's good to hear you guys. Thank you for being here again.
Of course, thanks for having us.
Always.
Okay, so Angel is at Angel on the Eighth Day, and Joda is at AS0Trance. So follow them on Instagram. And I think you guys are both on TikTok as well. Angel, you keep threatening to put up more videos.
I know.
One day you will. And I know you will one day.
I know, I will.
You'll get there. Listen, when do you have time? You got a million things going on, right?
So. Yeah.
So there you go. But we are here each week. Thank you for joining us. And we of course do our Tuesday readings at 8 p.m. PDT on TikTok. So you can join us for that.
Yeah, they've been going really well. I've been having a lot of fun.
Each week I feel like there's just even more and more people coming in. It's really cool to see.
It is. It's been fun. It was interesting because when you guys were not here the previous week, it was about 600. And then when both of us were here this week, I looked at the stats after it was about 900 people came through.
Jeez.
Wow. And
so yeah, so we had a ton of questions. We answered, I think, like I said, 30, maybe 31 or 32 questions.
Oh, easily. Like, yeah, you guys were like back to back.
We were cranking them out. Yeah. So it was fun. I'm glad people are showing up for that. And I thank you guys for being there. So all right. So this week, so last week we talked about the 12 houses of astrology, and Joda filled us in on a lot of great info about that. And we're going to speak a little bit more about that. Joda's going to tell us a little bit more about the third type of Scorpio. And then also Angel and I are going to talk a little bit. We talked a bit about this last week about some meditation type stuff that I've been working on. And we'll kind of work on those things. I think that's about it. And we'll see where we go. And then we'll be gone doing the astrology show for a couple of weeks, and then we'll be back. I'm going to fill in with some tarot stuff until the next astrology stuff. So join us for that when Angel and Joda get back. So here we are. So let's, Angel, I'm going to kind of give it to you, I guess, for now. We'll talk a little bit about the meditation stuff, right?
Yeah. So last week you were mentioning that you had found this book, yes?
Correct. Yeah.
And that the book is guiding you to your guide.
Yeah.
And so how did you, I guess we could start with that. Yeah. How did you discover that it was the ninth house?
So, okay. So this book, it's called The Inner Guide Meditation, and it's by a guy called Steinbrecher. And I think in the 80s, he had this book out, and there were actually groups that would practice this type of meditation. So not a lot of people are doing this one anymore, but it's a really cool type of meditation. So basically the idea is that he's got a kind of guided meditation that you go through, and it's designed to get you in touch with your inner spiritual guides.
Okay.
So his point, so where the ninth house connection comes in, is that his point is that your first spiritual guide, and he kind of lines it up this way. He says most people have four inner guides. So you start with this first one. And again, this is if you've never worked with spirit guides before. So this is kind of a good place to start, right? So the first one that you contact, or that you make contact with, is supposed to be connected to the ninth house of your personal birth chart.
Oh.
So we had started to talk a little bit about that last week, and I was kind of confused as to why. And then you told me, oh, that's Sagittarius. And you started telling me some other things about it, and it made more sense. So that ninth house, again, what is, tell me about that a little bit more again. So the Sagittarius house, it had like philosophy and your belief system and some other things like that, right?
So now you just kind of like threw a wrench in this a little bit.
Did I throw you?
Well, the ninth house as a stationary house just on its own, mm-hmm, represents higher education, long distance travel, Law and Order, worldly ideas, philosophical views, things associated with Sagittarius. But you, the way that you just phrased it is mm-hmm. whatever planet lands on your ninth house.
Yeah. Right. Yes, correct.
So according exactly. to your birth chart.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. So I have an older, maybe not as accurate birth chart from okay. the early 1800s. And
it's a good time.
My ninth house, Mars land is in my ninth house.
Oh, interesting. So,
it says deeply rooted opinions, which he knows how to defend energetically. At a certain moment in life, he can fight for a particular ideal, but may abandon it along the way, being less convinced than at the beginning of its virtue, or because he realizes that it is a losing battle, conflict abroad or with foreigners. So I don't know how that is anything.
Well, his, and again, I'm still working through this book. So, you know, we can revisit it in some later shows. And I haven't really done this meditation that deeply. I started the basics of it. Just kind yeah. of down, but I haven't really met that guide yet. I mean, I have guides that I work with already, so I'm
right.
But I'm trying to just do it as if I'm starting over and see, you know, see if this would be kind of a good system to sort of use, maybe to teach or to share.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I want to kind of go through it slowly, and I'm really taking my time with it. I wanted to kind of bounce ideas off you guys yeah. as well and see, you know, and maybe I'll. You know, once I started, I'm going to share the information with you too. So maybe if you want to, you know, practice it too, see what comes up for you. And maybe even if Joda wants
yeah.
it as well, if you guys are open, as time goes on, we can kind of share our experiences and see what pops up for us. But yeah, so that's
so this other thing in that I have in this birth chart, it says house 9 in Libra. And then it says likes justice, honesty, loyalty, and make good lawyers. That I feel is up my alley. Yeah. That would be something that would be perhaps an overarching approach, I guess, to
okay.
balance my life.
Yeah, that makes sense. Here's what I'm wondering, and again, like I said, I'm gonna get to this. I'm not that far into the book yet or into the meditation, but I'm pretty fascinated as to how he's gonna like lay it out, because his point is that the planet or, you know, whatever's in that house has something to do with the appearance and the kind of character of this particular guy that you're looking for. So maybe, for example, like I have Pluto in the ninth house, you have Mars. So, you know, maybe my figure is supposed to look like some sort of underworld type character, like a,
okay,
you know what I mean? Almost
yeah.
like a wizard or something, or some hooded sort of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So almost like something you get out of Greek mythology or something. Whereas yours, maybe is a little more, if it's Mars, I would think it'd be a little more kind of bright and I don't want to say militaristic maybe, but assertive and maybe somewhat aggressive. And
yeah,
I'm almost thinking like Mars, you know, the god Mars or Chang'e in like the system of Santeria or something like that, you know, where there's this fiery, kind of very
well. I was told that Chang'e was one of my guides or my person or my individual in that religion. So that would make sense.
That would make perfect sense. And that's interesting how that lines up with your birth chart as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That is interesting because they do have similar qualities, right? Mars has that like fiery masculine like energy or whatever.
Absolutely.
Chang'e is also, I think, very sexual.
Yeah, well, and Mars as well.
Yeah,
but it's very—they're very similar. The you know, the Aries and in the Greek system is very similar, and then you know, I'm sure most pantheons of deities have a figure like that.
Yeah,
archetypal type energy. So yeah, and so you know, Pluto, you know, is a god of the underworld, and you know, kind of talked about this a little bit before the show. So for me, I've always had an interest in that. You know, stuff on the unconscious, you know, the spirit world, shamanism, things like this. That's kind of underworld type stuff as well. What you do as well, but you know, your approach, I think, probably is a little more Mars-like, and my, you know, I tend to get kind of depressed. So that's kind of a quality of Pluto and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That I think is in there. So it's interesting how these things play out. So I haven't got to that point where he describes, you know, how the different, you know, the planetary aspects will play out in terms of how these guys look.
Right. There is some information that Jodo was gathering that breaks down the houses, what the houses represent, or what elements the houses have, and then how the signs or planets influence that, you know.
Okay. Okay, very cool. Well, let's get into that, but let's first, since we've been kind of, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say this, you were thinking about the same thing that I was thinking earlier. I just didn't have a chance to message you. But this would be something that would be awesome for your new venture or venue. You know, if you were to host these guided meditations where people, the guide that you're describing, I consider kind of like the front man, you know, or the front person, or the front individual. For the other guys, that tends to be kind of like the spokesperson, or, you know, that gives you a glimpse of kind of like an overview.
Absolutely. And it, and this guy too, in his system, in his way of looking at it, is also the one that you would always go to for protection when you're entering new kinds of territory or going into areas of psychic experience or spiritual experience where you're a little unsure or frightened.
Yeah.
Maybe you're doing regression work, past life work, you know, regression work into your own life, into scary traumatic situations that you know you're going to relive, but you want someone there with you, so that it would be with you. It's that sort of a guide, you know what I mean? So, you know, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that'd be a great thing for group work. And thank you for mentioning that venue thing. And that's so we're looking, and Angel's been helping as well, and Angel and Joda, to find a place where we can actually begin doing work in public. So we're looking in Las Vegas at some venues and stuff like that now. So we will keep you posted on that. I'm excited about that. It'll be fun to start working with people. And we've been behind the scenes for so long, kind of like online. We're going to be able to get face to face with people again soon. So that'll be fantastic. So
I think it'll be awesome.
Thank you guys for that. So I'm hoping that something will work out in the place you guys were at, you know, the other day, but we'll see how it unfolds.
Yeah.
So
Way or another, I was telling Joda, do you remember, and maybe this could be also be a private conversation, do you remember Enigma?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That place, I think, would have been also cool, right?
Yeah. He was showing me photos of it. Oh my God. That would be like perfect for exactly what you're wanting to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. Okay.
Remember it had kind of like that residential / studio space in the front and then the business in the back?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yes.
Kind of like a reverse mullet.
Like a reverse mullet indeed. Yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly what we're trying to think of. Because we need, you know, obviously we're going to keep doing our online stuff, but we want to have something up front to do the type of work that, you know, we've been talking about on the show. We're doing like the healing work and the limpias and, you know, meditations and being able to do stuff like in person with people. So, and the group work too.
Yep.
So I think
that's chakra healing, all of that.
All of it, you know, working with spiritual guides, you know, the spiritual healing work. I've got some great stuff I like to do too, like pranic healing and stuff like that, and working with similar to Reiki, but a little bit more yoga based stuff and things like that. So lots of cool stuff.
Yes.
So before we go on too, because I love to talk about this, before we go on too much with everybody, I know you guys, I don't want to keep it brief tonight because you're busy. But since we've been dominating this thing, I want to kind of hand it over to Joda. Joda, are you ready to talk a little bit about that third type of Scorpio?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I feel like you're just sitting there quietly, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I know you're there, and God bless you.
Yeah, okay. Here for looks.
We are about to enter the decan 3 for Scorpio. That would fall within the dates of November 12th to November 21st.
Okay.
So a little bit about that one. It falls within the last 10 days of Scorpio. It's the softest and most caring of the Scorpio natives. They are ruled by the moon and have similarities with Cancer native people and are also known as the week of charm. The natives of this part are the most peaceful and caring of all Scorpios because they will have very profound and close relationships with those who are around them. They will pour a lot of concern upon those around them while remaining reserved for their sensitive inner selves. Scorpio Decan 3 are faithful and have a preference for luxurious and a comfortable life, which may include their loved ones. Note they have powerful minds. As a scorpion of the water part, you have a strong sense of intuition. You are more vulnerable than you would like to admit and are easily harmed. Unkind words or reckless actions annoy you profoundly and wound your soul. You would never reveal the pain. It would rather hide away to lick your own wounds secretly.
And week was W-E-E-K.
Yeah, I felt week of charm. Like this week.
Okay.
So how the moon actually affects the third decan? It's the moon's decan sub-influence will provide some very thrilling and intriguing characteristics. Cancer, the natural ruler of the fourth house of home, family, and welfare, will cause you to be emotionally attached to family members. They most definitely had, or would have, a heavy effect on the sort of personality you create, for better or for worse. If you are male or female, you're likely to inherit any of your mother's traits, which might not be noticeable until the middle age or later. You would want, and if possible, must own your own house. Who doesn't want their own house? When a Scorpio Cancer cares about others, he or she does so with all of their heart. Many that are ideally prepared for Scorpio Cancer should remember their resistance to anyone asking for a free trip. Scorpio Cancer is also drawn to self-sufficient individuals that have something special to share. As seductive as Scorpio Decan 3 can be, they are extremely vulnerable to the seductive abilities of others. Partners and mates easily learn not to take the attention of Scorpio's third decan for granted. Otherwise, they can discover that what has been willingly offered can also be withheld or completely withdrawn.
Okay, so do either of you know type 3 Scorpios?
You know what? I don't think.
Not off the top of my head.
I'm within fairly close, but I'm pretty sure I know one. And one thing that I found, like, and I think we talked about this before about Scorpio, the water signs in general kind of like this, but Scorpios really to this extent is like, when, and that's, Jody, you had mentioned that when you were describing them, but this thing where they will not let you know if you hurt their feelings, they just will kind of disappear on you and you won't know what you did and you won't know what happened.
Gosh, that's the worst.
Right? And so you're kind of thinking back over the time and you're like, what did I do to cause this? And then you may or may not have done something to cause it because they are very sensitive. However, you know, it's a very mysterious kind of thing because they just kind of, and the thing is they won't directly let you know that they're upset. They'll still sort of talk to you, but it's very distant. It's a strange thing. I mean, I've seen that with two of the Scorpios that I know. And I've noticed that that's a trait. Have you guys experienced that with the Scorpios that you know? It's regardless of whether they're type 3 or not, I think they're all somewhat like that.
Where they turn inward, right? They just kind of inward, loose and go under their rocks.
Yeah.
For protection or whatever.
And I feel like they'll avoid trying to deal with the issue too, because you'll kind of like, even if you ask them, so, oh no, I'm fine, and you know they're not fine. You know what I mean? So I don't know, that's what I've seen. I'm not saying everyone's like that that's Scorpio, but I do think that there, it seems like there's a high level of sensitivity, which, you know, probably, I'm sure they're good, you know, a lot of them, I mean, are good actors, you know, poets, musicians, so on, you know what I mean, creative folks in general. So at any rate, that's what I've seen.
For sure.
All right. So thank you for the type 3 info. I guess since we're going to try to keep it brief, do we want to jump into the houses and just kind of go?
Yeah, kind of like a little overview.
Yeah, a little mini overview. So we're kind of playing off of what we spoke about more in depth last week. So if you haven't heard that one, go back and check out our last podcast. Joda has great information about each of those houses and went into great depth. So do check that out. So Angel, you've got some different information, right? A little bit, supplementary info, basically, about the...
Well, I have that other chart, the older one, but the more I read it, it seems a little bit confusing. So I'll have to look at my new one.
Okay.
But yeah, let me just go over some of the meanings of the 12 houses.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
So, this chart, it's like a little all over the place. I'm like, some of it sounds like me, and the other one, I'm not quite sure, but we'll see.
Oh, wait, let me interrupt you 1 second with a very strange non sequitur here, because I'm looking at it. We made pizza tonight, okay? And I know that that you are both gluten-free, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you entirely gluten intolerant, or can you handle it a little bit?
There's gluten pills that would have to be consumed prior to.
We usually take those before we we'll go out to eat or something like that, just in case.
In case, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna say, so Jenny is obviously, as I've told you before, is gluten intolerant as well.
And, okay, but like the celiac version,
Japanese name,
yeah,
one which is escaping me, but the point, Hashimoto, no,
Hashimoto? I think it is, right?
Might be that. Anyway, yeah. My point of all of this, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I was gonna say, so we got some Italian flour, European flour.
Ooh.
We've been using that to bake with, and
she's not having any sort of reaction at all.
Not having any problems at all.
I knew it.
Yeah.
USC.
Yeah.
I think that you, I'm going to say this, try it. Try it.
No, I believe you, because when we were going to, remember we were supposed to go to Mexico, but then something happened.
Yeah.
When we were going to go down there, I was like, I'm going to eat everything and just see what happens, because I have a feeling that it's just U.S. products, mass produce one strain of wheat, one strain of corn, and it just gets reproduced over and over and over. Yeah, it's going to be intolerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also GMO. I mean, it's
right.
Exactly.
Monsanto. So,
yeah.
You know, this flour is comes from Italian farms that are using heritage wheat that's hundreds of years old. Wow. And it's non-GMO and it's organic and it's incredible.
Did you just buy it online, or were you able to get it in a store?
Yeah, we got it. We actually got it on Amazon.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. It's not that bad. Like I think a 5-pound bag of it was like $12 or something.
Oh, that's not bad.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So, I might have to get some of that for the holidays then.
I try it at like a small moderation and see if it doesn't bug you. I don't know. I seriously think there's something in the wheat here. I don't know.
Yeah, in the food in general.
The food in general, exactly. Which is why we almost eat at home 90% of the time. And try to eat organic.
It's unfortunate too, because you want to be able to enjoy all these things, but then you can't.
Yeah.
Telling you. Yeah. So anyway.
That's why I like sourdough bread so much, because typically sourdough is old.
Yeah, true.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. It feels like the yeast is good for your gut too.
Yeah,
for your gut health. So anyway, sorry for that aside. I just wanted to share that before I forgot, because and by the way, this was my first pizza that I made more or less by myself, so I was pretty proud of it. So
nice. This is also something that you can offer in your new venue business.
I'm telling you. If we could, I wish we could come up with a GF, vegan cheese type option.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so.
Well, we will sometimes purchase those frozen pizzas, but then even Jody makes fun of me all the time. So we will have those soups in a box, they kind of look like old, and they kind of look like the fancy milk cartons.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay. So those kind of soups. And then he's like, oh, well, let's just, make it easy and just do soup. And I'm like, okay. And then he'll turn around to get some water or whatever. And then when he turns back around, I'm chopping up zucchini and squash and adding garlic and spinach and like all this stuff. He's like, what happened to just heating it up? I'm like, that's what I'm doing.
No, I told him, I was like, why didn't you just put it in a bowl and put it in the microwave? And he's like, that's not what you do.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
The last week he
this came from a place of love. Let me just say that, okay?
Got us on this tangent here. Last week, he had prepared this lunch for me to go to work or whatnot.
Okay.
I go, and then I'm like, okay, so I'll just heat up. It's soup. And he did something similar where he added an ingredient. Okay. But he chose one ingredient and just concentrated on that one ingredient.
Okay.
So I go over to heat it up. And then I'm like, what is that smell? Something just so strong. And then I'm like, am I feeling dizzy? And the whole office, not just mine, the whole like agency pretty much smelled like natural gas. He had added so much minced garlic into this kind of like puree type soup.
Yeah.
But didn't boil it down or didn't like.
I didn't know you had to.
So now it's essentially like a bomb.
Yeah, it's yeah. That's I learned that lesson the hard way too, Joda. Don't.
I'm not the only one. Came from a place of love. I was just trying to make him something nice. Yeah. I had no idea that you actually had to cook it a little bit before.
Yeah, garlic's one of those ones that. Like, unless you're using a little bit in, like, a salsa or something like that, it's, you definitely...
It's best to cook it down.
You got to cook it down, exactly. So, live and learn.
Exactly.
It's always a process. I was pretty happy with the way this pizza turned out, though. I'm not
nice.
The sad thing is, though, is because I was hoping, once we end up moving, obviously, want to cook some stuff for you guys. Like, the thing is, you can't get a good crust with that GF flour. It's really hard.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. Or even the gluten-free pastas, you have to undercook them a little bit. We'll have to just do a whole segment on cooking.
I'm totally going up. It's the problem. The problem is I've been spending way too much time cooking, so like it's one of my major topics now. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
I just recently got into cooking myself. I love it. It's so much fun.
Oh my god, isn't it?
The gluten-free pastas, you have to undercook them a bit because if you reheat them, or let's say you cook the pasta separately and then add, whatever sauteed vegetables or anything else, and then if that has heat, then it'll add more cooking time. Yeah. So then it ends up being a bit mushy.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah, we have some. I'll send you a picture of the stuff we just got. I think you're gonna like this. It's an Italian corn based. Oh, you can't eat corn though. Never mind.
But I might be able to if it's from another country.
Yeah, right.
Good thinking. I didn't even think about it. I'll take a picture for it. I'll send it to you. Okay. Anyway, let me give it back to you. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's okay. We could go on
crazy
food topics forever.
Yeah.
The different houses, right? Yeah, okay. So that was So first house, ascendant or AC if you see it in birth charts or rising sign. This is the house of self. It usually is the energy that others notice about you first. The way you dress, the way you carry yourself, the way that you approach others. Also, what we put into the world and give off to others. This house is associated with Aries. Second house. This is the house of personal finances, material objects, confidence, bank accounts, childhood friends. This house is associated with Taurus. Third house. Represents our relationships with our siblings, how we communicate, short-term travel, how we get around in cars, trains, and buses, and early childhood education. So like nursery school to high school.
That's very specific, isn't it?
Yeah. This house is associated with Gemini. Fourth house. I'm not sure how to pronounce this, but I'll spell it. I-M-U-M. First word, and then second word is C-O-E-L-I.
I think it's Imam Coli.
Hmm.
It's Latin for bottom of the sky.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Coeli. So I would say it would probably be like Imam Choeli, because cielo is Italian for sky.
That is correct.
So okay, the fourth house represents.
What's that? C before O is a hard C.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting.
So then, Coeli. So,
Coeli is right.
The fourth house represents our parents, home, personal values, traditions, beliefs, and family. It's our foundation. This house is associated with Cancer. Fifth house. This is the house of dating for fun, like casual dating. It's also the house for childbirth and children, creativity, risks, pleasures, and gambling. This house is associated with Leo.
Da, 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 da.
That's interesting.
Sixth house is the house of mundane day-to-day activities, like chores and errands, routines, health, coworkers, and people we see every day. This house is associated with Virgo. Seventh house is the descendant. This is the house of partnership and relationships. It is in direct opposition to the first house of self. This house is associated with Libra.
Interesting.
Eighth house is the house of transformation. It is also the house of sex, intimacy, death, other people's money, loans, taxes, and debt. This house is associated with Scorpio. And then ninth house is the house of higher education, college and beyond, long distance travel, law and order, worldly ideas, and philosophical views. I feel like we've said this plenty today, but this is associated with Sagittarius. Then there is the 10th house. It's midheaven, medium Coeli or MC. This is Latin for middle sky. This is the house of career and public standing. This house is associated with Capricorn. I could definitely see that with the career and the public standing part. Being with, you know, associated with Capricorn.
Yeah.
And then 11th house is the house of humanitarianism. Acquaintances, classes, networking, internet relationships, hopes, and visions.
Internet relationships?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Wait, too. Yeah, that is. I was just going to say that. That
maybe because it's networking, connections, yeah, all of that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They're modernizing now for the technological age. This house is associated with Aquarius. And finally, 12th house. This is the house of clandestine.
Clandestine.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's like secret hidden stuff, right?
Yeah. Mental and emotional health, prison, crime and punishment,
yikes,
sleep, fears, and addiction. This house is associated with Pisces.
Interesting.
What
planet is Pisces connected to? Joda, do you know that off the top of your head?
Gosh. Off the top of my head, I don't, but I can do a quick little Google search.
Thank you.
Pisces is
Pisces.
What was Pisces? What planet? I think it might be Uranus.
It's one of the Neptune. I was going to say it's one of the blue ones because I always remember that from ocean, because Pisces are like super, you know, emotional generally.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. So Neptune, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yep, Neptune.
Oh wow. Okay. All right. Very good. That's an interesting house, that last one. Mm-hmm. They're all interesting though. The first house you said is the kind of your persona.
Self, correct.
But almost like your ego self, right? Like kind of like who you present as and stuff like that, right? And you're
that's of, what it seems it was, like, yeah.
It was kind of going over like it's
how
like
a people lot of, view you.
Yeah, how you dress and how you want society to see you.
To see you. Yeah. That's interesting.
Which I clearly want society to see that I own a lot of sweatpants.
Is that your goal?
I guess it has to be, right?
You're achieving that. You're really winning with that, aren't you? Yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to have society see me as right now. If you could see me right now, you guys would laugh your asses off.
Are you wearing sweatpants?
I am, but in addition, I got like a thermal shirt on, an old Led Zeppelin t-shirt, and a beanie hat on too, because it's freezing in here. So yeah, it's real cool. So I've given up. It's winter time.
I've given up.
Winter time in Northern Arizona. You give up. You're just trying to stay warm. So yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll probably wrap it up. I kept you guys on longer than I should have. I'm sorry, but
it's okay. If you know why, next time we can talk about how the different planets would influence particular houses.
That would be great. Yeah, we'll go deeper in, right? And that'll be at the beginning of the next month, right? So we'll be back in a couple weeks. Yeah. So. All right, perfect. All right, thank you guys again. Beautiful stuff.
Of course.
Okay, so we're at the holiday season now, so I've got to say that you guys are looking for gifts for spiritual folks. Angel's got beautiful crystals, prosperity beans, and other great stuff on Etsy at Angel on the 8th day in his Etsy shop.
Yes.
And we have our stuff up there as well. If you're looking for tarot bags, things like this, we got some jewelry up now and fun stuff. That is Cosmic Eye Tarot, and that's on Etsy as well. Or you can go to the website, cosmiceye.org, follow at Angel on the 8th day, at AS0Trance for Joda, and at Cosmic Eye Tarot for myself. And Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. PDT. I'll be there on TikTok. Right, so yes. I think I got all of the plugs in there. And anything else you guys have, or
I don't think so. We haven't. No, maybe next time we'll talk about Joda's trans music adventure.
Yes,
trans music or trans?
Trans.
Okay, I thought you said trans music.
Like your handle, trans.
Trans. Right? Yep. A state of trance.
a state of trance, exactly. Yeah. All right, so perfect. Enjoy that, Joda. Looking forward to hearing more about that. And
maybe we'll post a photo of his out of this world outfit.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh man, do you have an out of this world outfit planned?
We got my first day, so I'm meeting up with a bunch of people there. So day one, we've kind of decided is going to be space themed. So okay. I got these really cool because it's going to be outdoors and it's going to be kind of cold. So I got these like long sweatpants kind of that have like a galaxy on it, and then I got this cool shirt that kind of matches the colors that are like within that galaxy, so like some like deep purples and greens. And then I got a matching watch wristband, so I am ready. The second day though is supposed to be purple themed. No idea what I'm gonna wear. I mean, it could be as simple as just wearing a shirt that is purple, but that's no, I'm gonna probably wear a shirt that's white that just says purple. Just throw people off a little bit.
There you go. You don't want to be too much of a conformist.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, perfect. Thank you guys again. We'll be back. I'll be back with a couple tarot shows in between till the next time we all get together again. So
yeah, or we may surprise you. You never know.
You never know. All right. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.